because that's the life that's going to line up for God's blessing and his favour to come upon us. So I found some scriptures in the Word that tell us to do some things first. First, before you do this, God says. First, before you do that. And I believe that these things will bring blessing, maybe that you've never experienced before. I can say that because I'm living it. I know there were things that I could have done and didn't do. I aligned myself up with the Word of God the whole time. I had things coming at me, but I stayed aligned with God and his Word. And the blessing, I'm getting blessed like I can't believe. It's unbelievable, really. It's just amazing. But God says, do this first and it will align you for blessing. And it's okay to say, bless us, Lord, because if we're blessed, we can be a blessing. Okay, it's okay. We get this thing, we can't bless me, bless you. No, God bless us that we would be a blessing to others. It isn't for us, it's to pass on. So God says, if you put my word first, my blessings will overtake you. Love that. Who could do with some blessings? I don't know about you, but lately, it's just been so apparent of relationships breaking up, crisis in families, the devil trying to steal a beautiful life, relationships, health, finances. It's probably always been there, but for some reason it seems more relevant at the moment. I mean, you think about an alignment. You think about your car. If your wheels aren't in alignment, if you've hit the gutter and you're a bit wobbly, then the journey of things are a little bit harder. And there's something about getting in alignment. It's right and it makes the way easier. So every now and again I've got to go to the chiropractor just to get in alignment so that I'm standing okay and my hip's not out or whatever. It's much better when we're in alignment. And one of my favourite scriptures is from Matthew 6:33. But seek first. There's a first. We're going to do some first today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that I've just said, all these things, relationships, families, finances, whatever it is, dreams, health, all these things shall be added to you. This is an alignment about our priority. In other words, if there's something standing between you and God and you're not putting him first, we need to dethrone and get rid of whatever that is that's stopping us putting God first and seeking his kingdom first, because God wants first place in our lives. So maybe we need to do a priorities check, which is a good thing that we always keep a check on ourselves. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about that he will preserve us, spirit, soul and body. And it says here in 23, now may God, the God of peace himself, sanctify, which means set apart and declared holy, may he sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes our order is body first, then the flesh, which runs rampant, and then the soul, which is our emotions, our attitude, our happiness, and then the spirit. We get them out of alignment. But Paul is saying here that God must be involved in every aspect of our life. And it's wrong to think that we can separate the spiritual life from everything else. Because God's priority is seek first the kingdom. And he says, I'll preserve your spirit, your soul and your body. Spirit first. And if you'll let him, he'll bless you when you get the priority of the kingdom first. Spirit first, then soul and body, and then finances and everything else will be blessed. When we stay in the priority and we're aligning our priorities with his. Okay, so there's another verse coming up. In Matthew 5:23 and 24, it says, therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar. Now, just stop there for a moment. In the Bible, an altar represented sacrificing to God by giving him the first and the best sacrifice. It represented worshipping God and putting him above all else in life. It represented humility, acknowledging your need of God and your total dependence on him. But it's also possible to build an altar for ourselves And by doing so, we rob God of his rightful place in our lives when we put ourselves first. So therefore, the scripture, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something, that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go away and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Your gift might be a ministry gift. Your gift might be serving or volunteering. It might be an offering. Your gift, you can know what your gift is. But he says, bring the gift, bring the offering, put it on the altar, and God will hold that blessing until you go away and make things right. Jill talked about forgiveness this morning because it says, first be reconciled. And there's other scriptures too, but I'm just bringing a few today. And then when you've done that, he will release the blessing on the offering that you've brought. He didn't say, take it away, just, you know, go away, get it right, and then come back. No, just bring your offering to God, leave it with him, and go away and make things right. You know, there's an incentive to offer up the offering on the altar while you go first and make it right with your brother. This is an alignment of our relationships. And it matters to God. It matters that you get along with people. It matters that the priority is relationships, because we can all be about me, other words, me and God, don't need anybody else. But relationships are important to God. And I love this scripture in Colossians, which just says it all. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, because none of us are perfect, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. I love that scripture. It just covers so much. That's how we're meant to be with each other. Understanding that each other's different, our personalities, our characters are different, but being united together. I love that. So if you want the blessings of God, we need to get in alignment with our relationships and first be reconciled. Even if the other person doesn't want to be, you've done your part. If you've reached out, you know, God will still bless that. Okay, another first. In Matthew 12:29, it says, "Oh, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house?" Now, that I just put in another version there, which says, "Whoever wants to enter a strong man's house and steal his things must first tie him up. Then they can steal from the house." And, of course, the meaning of binding is just tying someone up so that they can't move or escape. This is an alignment of our authority. This has to do with the fact that the devil has stolen from you. He's stolen your relationships. He's stolen your money. He's stolen your family and your health. And we can't be passive about that any longer. We took authority this morning when Steve said, let's just take authority over the young people that have been taken out of our church. We need to take authority over the strong man. Of course, we're talking about the devil here. It's like the devil has your stolen stuff in a storage unit and he has your name in it and he's bragging, ha ha, look what I did there, look what I stole from them, look what I did in their relationship. And he's thinking that you're never going to get it back. But the Bible says if you want your stuff back, take authority and bind the strong man. Don't accept that it's gone forever. I mean, if you lose your keys, you're going to go looking for them until you find them. If you lose your wallet, you're definitely going to look high and low until you find it. But the devil wants us to say, oh, well, that's gone. Okay, that's gone. No, we've got to rise up, church. Personally, we've got to rise up and take authority over the things that the devil has stolen. And the Bible says, when the enemy come against you, to bind the strong man and declare that you will get that back. Mightn't be right away, but you keep declaring. Don't give up, because you're going to get your joy back, you're going to get your dream back, you're going to get your marriage back, and you're going to get your finances back. You're going to get back your purpose. Can you agree with me? Because in the name of Jesus, you can rebuke the devil. You can bind the strong man. And you know what? In Proverbs it says, if the thief is caught, he has to pay back sevenfold. We're not defeated. So you know what? I'm going to have sevenfold more of what's been stolen to me, and then God can do the hundredfold as well. But we can say sevenfold, devil, sevenfold, okay? So you get this in your spirit today. His blessings will find you and they will overtake you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's another first and another alignment. Matthew 22, 36 to 39. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is an alignment of our heart. God really wants to bless you, but he wants to be in alignment with you so he can bless your comings and your goings. He wants to open up his treasures and open up the windows of heaven and pour out his blessing, so much so that you would not have enough room to store it. But in order for that to happen, there's a first thing that you have to do. You have to get your alignment of heart. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. That is the first commandment, with all of your heart. See, what you get excited and passionate about is what you'll activate. I'm getting excited. Like, I've been getting this excitement in my spirit for weeks now, and I text someone through the week. I don't know what's going on, but I'm excited for you because I just felt an overwhelming excitement. And I want you to join with me. I want you, that worship this morning, it brings an excitement and a passion into my spirit, and I want you to catch that too. I mean, it's the first and the greatest commandment. And then he said, love the Lord with all your heart, mind and soul. Love your neighbour as yourself. Yep, we love God. Got that. Love our neighbour. Yep, okay, I can do that. I can do that. Okay. But the biggest part of loving your neighbour is loving yourself. In other words, God is saying, I want you to get in alignment with the fact that I love you, and not to listen to the voice of the enemy that you tell yourself, no, I really don't like myself. I hate myself, actually, because I think I'm ugly, I'm inferior, or because you've been told that you've been stupid as a child, or you hear the voices on the inside telling you that you can't do anything right, you've done too much, you could never go ahead now, you've got too much of a past, you'll never be good enough. That is not an alignment of what God has to say about you. That is not his voice that you're hearing. The thing that will stop you from your dream and your promised land are the voices on the inside of you. So beware on the inside. Beware of the voices, because God said, I want you to love yourself on the inside. Get in alignment with your heart. Read the words. Read what God says about you and how much he loves you. In Matthew 23, Jesus was talking to a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees that were decked out in their white robes, showing how holy they were. Let's read that, 25 and 26. Jesus says to them, what sorrow awaits you as teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash inside the cup of the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. So this is about aligning our inner self with what God says about us. And that alignment is purity. It's your thought life. It's your thinking and your attitude. The Pharisees were so worried about looking right on the outside, but they were dead. Actually, a few scriptures later, it says they got dead men's bones in them. They were dead to the Spirit. And the world feeds on the outside and what you look like. But God feeds on who you are on the inside. We worry too much about our outward appearance. And yes, it's good to look good. That's okay. So don't take this out of balance. The greater thing is to be clean on the inside in your thought life and your purity, in your attitude and in your spirit. And if you want to be in alignment for his blessing, you can't go around thinking you're holy and it's about the outside. No. We have to get it right on the inside. And you know what? Change comes from the inside out. It does. I know when I've seen someone that's in a bad place, just by looking at them, I can tell that inwardly something's not wrong. That's why when Jesus prayed for people in the Bible, he knew what was going on in the inside. He mightn't have prayed for them to be healed and get up and walk, but he was praying that he'd forgiven their sins. And then the outward naturally follows. He will make you modest, and he will convict you if you put on something that you shouldn't or say something that you shouldn't. But don't base your salvation on the outside. It's about being clean on the inside first, and God will convict you, and that's only to teach you and to encourage you. It's not to condemn you. Here's another first in John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." In other words, they were having church. It was Sunday and they were having church. And I believe that God wants us to get in alignment with the body of Christ. The first day of the week, we celebrate that on Sunday. You don't just hit, miss and skip church. It's important to come and be a part of aligning up with the body of Christ and be planted in the house. Make your priority God's house and watch the blessings find and overtake you. In the book of Genesis, I was reading it last night, Jacob, he saw a vision. He had a dream, okay, and he went to bed and he had this dream and he said he saw angels going up and down a stairway, and at the top of the stairway was the Lord God. And when he awoke from the dream, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." It was none other than the house of God, which was the very gateway to heaven. And he named that place Bethel, which means house of God. I believe that there are things that God will do for you in church that he may not do for you at home. His church, the church, was his idea. And when the body of Christ is in alignment with his word and each other, with his help, one person can put 1,000 to flight. Two people can put 10,000 to flight, because God fights for us, as he promised. Now, I'm not saying you can't take holidays and you can't go on a trip. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying God blesses us when we're part of the body. And when you're here, it's better, because we are all the body of Christ. We are so much stronger because we're here together. Our prayers are stronger. Our praise is stronger. Our faith is stronger. And you're in the right place for a miracle. This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven, and the angels are here. So be in alignment with the body of Christ. In Deuteronomy 26:2, another first, it says that you should take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord God is giving you, put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord God chooses to make his name abide. And I picked that scripture, and you'll see why in a minute. He says to bring the first fruits. That's the alignment of our money. In Proverbs 3:9, he says to honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, the tithe is the first, as we know. It's not what we give to the TV preachers. It's not what we give to the worthy Christian charities or whatever, or even to missions. The tithe belongs in the storehouse where God chooses to make his name abide. That it's the place where you call your church, that feeds your soul and ministers to you and your family. He said, you don't get to choose where the tithe goes. Bring it to the place I have chosen. You can give offerings to anyone you want, but he said that the tithe belongs in the house. And Malachi 3:10-12, which has been a blessing to me, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Put me to the test. He goes on then to tell you that he'll protect the other 90%, or the rest of what you don't tithe. He will protect that. And I love that. And I just want to give you a few testimonies. of some things that have been in our life of aligning especially our finances up with what God's word says. Oh, it's got to be 30 years ago. We were going to church and I started thinking, I need to tithe. I'm giving an offering, but I don't think it's a tithe and I wanted to understand it. So he's putting his head down there. So we were having a discussion, which was like not going well, that we should tithe. And I thought, okay, well, right. And I'm reading the scripture. God says, test me in this. And we'd been saving up for a holiday and we had some cash in a drawer. And I'm like, I just, you know, could we tithe? Could we just test him? Graham got the money out and he just went, give it all away to the church. It went flying through the air. Anyway, we made up, sort of, and I didn't do it. No. We've got to be in agreement here, right? So we go to church that day over at the high school and Kevin Wilcox was preaching and he said, I'm going to preach on tithing this morning. Okay, so we had a look at each other and we agreed that we'd put God to the test, that we would just put in our 10%. And at that time, we didn't have any. We were quite broke. We had bills to pay. We weren't doing well at all. Didn't even have some food in the house. I know it's hard to believe, but that's where I start. That's where we started. And we put in our tithe. And then we had this old caravan, and Graham used to use it to go away when he was working. And I went in there for some reason, and there was toilet paper and toothpaste and potato, things that I actually needed were in this caravan. Within a few days, he had shown me that my test, that he'd passed, that he was, you know, honouring our tithe. And from that day, we never stopped tithing. Did it all come in flooding straight away? Absolutely not. And when you plant a potato, there is time before it comes up in the ground. But there was something in my spirit from that test that made us strong in, like, okay, we're going to trust God, we're going to trust God. And I could go to sleep at night saying, Lord, because I tithe, you said that you're going to protect my things and you're going to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in heaven. And so we continued to do that. But there was still working out we had to do in that. We were young at it, you know, but we continued to tithe. And things came against us and we almost decided we were going to declare bankruptcy at least twice because it just got hard. But yet God faithfully provided everything we need. And then four and a half years ago, Graham had a stroke. And he was in Canberra Hospital recovering from this stroke. And prior to that, we had a contractor who was doing it tough, and he wanted us to buy his business. And Graham's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's get bigger, because he's a bit of a visionary. He's got his head down that thing. And I'm just like a bit scared about it all. Anyway, I'm like, I just don't feel that's God. But anyway, I thought, we'll go with it, because God, if it's not you, you're going to have to tell him, not me. So because this guy was doing it a bit tough, he said, would you allow me to put my guardrail materials on your account? Just for a while, just to help me get on my feet. Graham, being a merciful person, said, oh, absolutely, that's fine. And the company that we get our guardrail from, because if you don't know, we install safety barriers on the highways, said, you're crazy. We've shut his account. You're crazy. Graham goes, oh, no, I'm just going to give him a limit of $50,000, you know, because guardrail's not cheap. So anyway, this guy gets up to $200,000 on our account, $220,000 actually, and I'm starting to panic, because if we stopped him, he's not going to have the means to pay us back. So anyway, he got it down to $144,000. And Graham has a stroke, right? And so he's not allowed to be stressed this time, so it's sort of, I felt this burden on me. So I go into this hospital room, actually it might have been the bathroom, to get away from him, because I just received an email to say that this guy had gone bankrupt and we weren't going to get our $144,000. And not only that, they were demanding that we pay back the last $80,000 that he'd given us. Because when you go bankrupt, an administration comes in, takes over your finances, And they go, right, you've just paid them. I'll take that back and I'll make it fair. And firstly, the taxation department get their money, then the employees get their benefits, and then everyone else goes in a queue. And I'm like, if I have to give that 80 back, we're done. We're done. I can't even afford the 144 that I've still got to pay on the bill. We're done. So I went into a room and I felt prompted to ring my insurance broker. Don't know why, but I did, and I know why now. And I said, have I got any insurance policies that are going to cover me for this money? And he said, I'll ring you back. He rings back and he said, you don't, but I can give you a lawyer for free, part of your policies, that will fight this for you. I'm like, I'll take it. I just thought it's going to give me time, okay, and while he's recovering. So I'm carrying this because he can't. So we get this lawyer. I tell him all the story. I send all the emails and all the stuff they needed. They sent the administration a letter and said, we'll go off the list of debtors. In other words, we'll never get our money back, but we don't want to pay the 80 back. That's the deal. We'll keep the 80 and we won't go on your list. And time went by, and finally got a letter to say, we'll just pay 50 back. And I thought, if they can just say 50 back just like that, they can just say no. They can say no. So I'm just declaring, because I felt we've been robbed, okay? And so I started declaring and calling back what had been stolen from us. And I never heard another thing. We went off their list, but I never had to pay this $80,000 back. And it was a testament to God, because I kept reminding him that I'd been faithfully tithing all these years. And Graham recovered and everything. It was just an amazing thing that God did. But what it did was it took Graham out of the picture to show Graham. Now, that next year, we had a record year. We actually were paid back sevenfold in profit, you know. And that's glory to God, because Graham was out of action. He couldn't work for 6 months because he was waiting for a heart operation. And so sometimes, as I said last week, God diminishes your supplies so that the miracle is greater that he wants to show. And I could tell you testimony after testimony from our finances of what he's done. But there's one thing. We've had these young people, and they've been saying, oh, we want to know your secret to success. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we caught up with a few of them, and they're doing this business thing, and, oh, we need to get you in, Graham. We need to hear your success. Anyway, when we went home and talked about it, Graham had this revelation. It's because we tithe. It's no success without God. Sure, business can do well, but God's called us to tithe, and we're in this house, and that's where his money comes into this storehouse, and he provides everything. And so there is no secret to success except to work hard and to bring the tithe into the storehouse, I believe, okay? I'm not saying that because we want your money, because I don't. God wants your heart, and it's often a heart thing, isn't it? And so I just have this great excitement that if you would align yourselves with the firsts that God tells us to do in every area of the word, he's going to do amazing miracles. You'll have your prayers answered. And I'm just going to speak over you right now in the name of Jesus. Just Father God, I just declare a blessing over each and every person here or is ever going to hear this CD or that's on Zoom right now, that, Lord, that you would, your blessings would overtake, and that our families would be restored, our finances would be restored, our health would be restored sevenfold, because the thief is caught. We know who he is. So, Lord, help us to get in alignment with your word. Wash us, cleanse us, forgive us, Lord. And I ask you to bless us now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay. We're going to sing another song. Thank you.